This is the story of Lusmore and the fairies. In the west of Ireland, near the river Capagh, and at the foot of the gloomy Galtee Mountains, there once was a small village by name of Cahir, which was home for 100 or so hard-working farmers and craftsmen and their families. And nestled in the forest some distance from this village, there stood a small one-room cottage where lived one of these craftsmen, a young man who was a hunchback. And by trade, he was the basket maker. And the villagers had noticed that he always had one of his baskets perched as a cap on his head with a sprig of the Lusmore flower in it. And so it was that they named him Lusmore. Now the hump on this man's back was so large that it looked as if he carried a heavy sack of fruits or vegetables upon his shoulders, underneath his clothing. And he was forever bent over with his face toward the ground, so that from a distance he looked as if he had no head at all. Everyone in the land who knew of Lusmore the hunchback avoided him. Not because they were afraid of him. Quite the contrary. His singing and whistling let them know that he was a harmless and kindly fellow, but they avoided him just the same, because it made them feel strange and uneasy just to look at that huge, ugly hump on his back. And they felt uncomfortable not knowing what to say to him. But despite this burden, this man's life was one of great wonder, great knowledge, and great happiness. He lived in silence in the forest. And over the years, he had become very sensitive and attentive to the world around him. Rarely did a moment pass in the day that he was not whistling a tune, or singing a song, or listening to the music which he heard in every corner of the forest. The birds' morning chirps, the breeze rustling through the leaves, the creaking and squeaking branches and tree limbs, or the gurgling of the brook, or the roar of the river, clapping thunder and dripping raindrops, the night crickets and the gulping bullfrogs. He lived contentedly, and he made the best of what God had intended for him. His music, the trees, and the healing herbs, and the animals of the forest were his best friends. Well, one day, when he was feeling especially good and having just sold his baskets in Cahir, Lusmore decided to take a different path to get home. He walked for a while northward along the river and through some unfamiliar forests until the path wound its way out of the woods and into an overgrown meadow. And midway across this field, Lusmore came upon a place where there had once stood a large castle. And he knew that this was Knockgrafton, an ancient place remembered in local legends where strange and unexplainable things had happened. The crumbling, moss-covered stone walls were surrounded by a moat, which was filled with clear water. And next to the moat rose up a small grassy hill decorated with an assortment of colorful wildflowers. It was quite a magical and beautiful place. And Lusmore noticed that the water in the moat was coming from a small spring about halfway up the hill, and he heard the gurgling brook's song as it sang its way down into the moat. So he climbed to the clear pool of water and set down his cane and slowly kneeled down for a long drink, then settled his weary body amongst the wildflowers for an afternoon nap. But within a very short time, Lusmore was drifting, just lightly drifting in that place between sleep and wakefulness, when he began to hear the most beautiful and delicate strains of music coming from within the moat. Well, the sounds were at once easy to hear and yet distant, as if many tiny voices were blending and mingling together to produce a harmony the likes of which even Lusmore had never heard. Well, slowly, Lusmore could make out the tune, which was repeating itself over and over again, always with a slight pause before starting up again. And then, even the words of the song became apparent. It was the fairies singing over and over again. And as Lusmore listened again and again to the very song, he began thinking to himself that the pause in the music could be filled up with a bit more melody. And being the musician that he was, so sensitive to the music around him, Lusmore began singing right along with the fairies, and this time adding a bit to the tune and extra words as well.
Augusta Cardin, Dalumor, 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 Augusta Cardin, Dalumor, 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 Augusta Cardin, Dalumor, Dalumor, Dalumor.
Well, when the fairies heard this, they were delighted. They instantly loved the new part which Lusmore had added to their song, and they came bounding out of the moat and danced all around, even on top of Lusmore's body, exclaiming what a fine musician he was. All tiny creatures they were, with little pointed ears and shoes, and so many of them that he lost track of anything but their swirling motion around him, and as one of them shouted out, "Lusmore! You must come with us down into the fairy kingdom." He felt himself dancing with them in a whirlwind of music and motion, gathering speed until suddenly he found himself whisked away by the fairy's whim. Well, glorious to behold was the sight that burst upon him as he came down through the moat, twirling round and round with the lightness of a feather, to the sweetest music that kept perfect time to his motion. It was a huge hall, but filled with fairies, and all dancing and singing, and lights were flashing, and flags were flying, and musicians were all around, and everyone paying great attention to Lusmore, and all singing the song with his new part added in. And in all his life, Lusmore had never been treated with such friendliness and such respect. But after a time, Lusmore looked over into one corner of the hall where there was a group of fairies, and one of them was pointing at Lusmore. And Lusmore suddenly remembered his hump. And he thought the fairies must be looking at his crippled body, and that perhaps this new friendship would soon be over. Well, the fairies came over to Lusmore, and the king of the fairies, the one who had been pointing at him, looked up and said these words, "Lusmore, Lusmore, doubt not, nor deplore that hump which you bore. You shall bear it no more. Look down on the floor, and you shall view it, Lusmore." Well, suddenly Lusmore felt very light, and looking down, he saw a hump on the ground. And slowly he reached back behind his neck just to see if it could be true. And sure enough, the hump was gone. Lusmore stood up straight for the first time in his life. And never had he felt so free and so light and so happy. He immediately began to dance in such a quick and sprightly manner that it seemed that he was the fairy's own dancing master. And the music played on and on for hours and hours, with everyone dancing and celebrating this wonderful new friendship between Lusmore and the fairies. Well, finally, even the fairies began to tire And one by one they fell asleep there on the floor of the fairy kingdom. And Luce Moore became quite weary, too. He lay down amongst his new friends, and he was just drifting off to sleep, just in that place between sleep and wakefulness, when suddenly he woke up with a start. And it took him a little while to come back to his senses. And looking around, he no longer saw the fairy kingdom, but there was the moat and the spring and the meadow. And birds were singing and cows were grazing lazily nearby, just as they had been when he lay down for his nap. And Luce Moore thought, oh, it was just a dream. And after saying his prayers, he slowly reached back behind his neck just to see. And sure enough, the hump was still gone. And Luce Moore stood up, slowly raised his head until it sat straight up upon his shoulders. And immediately he felt so free and so wonderful that he found himself dancing there in the meadow and happily singing the song to the tune that he had raised for his friends within the moat. Well, over the next few days, Luce Moore had a great work to persuade the villagers that he was the same man. But before long, the story of Luce Moore and the fairies had made its way throughout the countryside, and it was the talk of everyone for miles around. Well, one day, an old woman from a distant village came along the path near Luce Moore's cottage, and seeing him seated there, she asked him if he might know of one who they called Luce Moore. Well, Luce Moore told her to look no further and asked her what could he do for her. Well, she replied that she had come a great distance from the town of Waterford because she had a friend, an old gossip, whose son was a hunchback. And if she could find out the charm which got the fairies to remove the hump off Luce Moore's back, then maybe the same would happen again. Well, Luce Moore didn't suppose that another man would have exactly the same encounter with the fairies as he did. But being the kind and good-natured fellow that he was, Luce Moore told the whole story of the moat at Knockgrafton and the fairies' song and of how he had added a bit to their tune and how they liked it so much that they had taken him into their kingdom and treated him as a true friend and had taken off his hump. Well, the old woman thanked Luce Moore over and over again and quickly returned home to Waterford, where she retold the whole story again to her old gossip friend. And the next day, the two of them loaded her son into a wheelbarrow, as he was too lazy and stubborn to walk on his own, and pushed him in the direction of Knockgrafton. Well, Jack Madden was his name, and he had always been an unpleasant and cunning fellow who never had a kind word for anyone, and sorely resented having such a crippled and humped-over body. And he had no desire to go to Knockgrafton. He did not believe in fairies, nor in the fantastic story of Luce Moore's good fortune, and he gave his mother and her friend a terrible time, complaining bitterly, riding in the wheelbarrow all the way down the road to Cahir. The two left Jack Madden just at nightfall by the moat in Knockgrafton, and instructed him that if he wished to be rid of his hump, that he must have a drink from the spring, and then sing with the fairies and charm them with a new part for their tune. Well, sure enough, within a very short time, Jack Madden began to drift towards sleep when he began to hear ever so faintly the sweet voices coming from within the moat. The fairies were singing the song just as Luce Moore had settled it for them.
August
Well, Jack Madden, who had almost no music in him at all, and who was in a great hurry to be rid of his hump, listened impatiently for only a short time before he jumped into the song without ever minding the time or waiting for a proper place to bring in his words. Augusta Codden, Augusta Henna, Augusta Henna, da Henna, da Henna. Well, at once, and before he even had a chance to finish his line, the humpy man was whisked with great force by a swarm of angry fairies into the moat, and all of them screaming and screeching, "Who is this that spoiled our tune? Who dares try to sing so badly with us?" And then the king of the fairies came up, and all the other fairies gathered round as he looked up and pointed, saying these words above all the rest. "Jack Madden, Jack Madden, your words came so bad in the tune we felt glad in. This kingdom you're had in, that your life we may sadden. Here's two humps for Jack Madden." And in no time, a host of the strongest fairies gathered on the floor and picked up the hump which had been taken from Lutz Moore's shoulders and placed it on Jack Madden's back, right over his own hump, where it became fixed as firmly as if it had grown there itself, which left Jack Madden looking more bent over and crippled than could even be imagined. Well, the fairies kicked him back out of their kingdom, and Jack awoke the next morning to the gasps and shudders emanating from his mother and her friend as they discovered the two humps which were now upon his shoulders. Well, they said very little, fearing that with a wrong word some similar misfortune might befall them, and they quickly loaded Jack back into the wheelbarrow and headed down the road and back to Waterford, as downcast in their hearts and looks as two gossips ever were. Well, of course, the story of Jack Madden's ill-fated encounter with the fairies made its way quickly round the countryside. And in time, the story fell upon Luce Moore's ears. Well, when Luce Moore heard about Jack Madden's new burden, he quickly realized that this was the very same hump which he himself had borne until only a few months before. And he was filled with wonder that anyone should have to bear such a burden. He did feel some kinship with Jack, and he thought for a time about what he might do to ease this poor man's suffering. Since it was his best talent, Luce Moore decided that he would make for Jack Madden a special gift, a strong and colorful basket. And so, for the next 3 days, Luce Moore set about his task of gathering and selecting the very best materials for his basket. And with great skill, he carefully wove the reeds and vines together, always singing as he worked, weaving in his love and caring. And then, on the morning of the fourth day, Luce Moore set out on his journey to find Jack Madden, heading in the direction of Waterford, walking easily and with purpose.